السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters and elders, inshallah today we begin a series of khutbas on the topic of tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq. And like we did with the other series based on Suratul Hujurat, that series of khutbas is available now as a book, and there is a downloadable DVD with all the audios for that khutbah. Both of these are free and they are available on the website, and you are welcome to take it down from there and to use them, inshallah. And inshallah, the same thing will happen at the end of this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for us and make this a source of guidance for us, so that we may actually bring about some changes in our lives. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world for a purpose. And that purpose is to introduce Him to His creatures. In order to teach us how to do that, He, Jalla Jalaluhu, sent His book and His Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the instructions and a demonstrator. And that is why the first item of tarbiyah is to learn to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla wa ala. And that is why I say to you that tarbiyah begins with us, not with our children. A lot of parents are very keen that the children must have tarbiyah. But tarbiyah has to begin with you. It cannot begin with the children. If we don't know how to connect with Allah, if we don't know how to take from the treasures of Allah, how can we teach our children? We can only give what we have. And therefore it is essential for us to first acquire so that we can give. And that is why, sadly, today we live in a state of fear and want, and condemn the children also to such a life, all the while holding the keys of honor and peace and happiness in our hands. Now how intelligent is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this in Surah Al Imran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. Which means, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred a great favor, a ni'mah, on the believers when He sent among them a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from among themselves, reciting unto them His ayat of the Quran, purifying them internally and externally, which is tazkiyah, and instructing them in the book of Allah, which is ta'aleem, and al-hikmah, which is tarbiyah, or practicing or teaching them how to practice what they learn. And verily, before that, they were in manifest error. They were in clear error. My dear brothers and sisters, Islam is not the name of an ideology or a philosophy. Islam is the name of practice. Like exercise or martial arts, it only benefits those who practice it, not those who may well know a great deal about it, but who don't practice it. You may know the entire history, for example, of Aikido, its principles and philosophy, and all about the various moves and so on. But if you don't practice Aikido, it cannot help you when you are in a fix. There is a very interesting story about the founder of Aikido, Morihei Ueshiba. He was called by the shogun and ordered to demonstrate his art with the katana, which is the samurai sword. Morihei Ueshiba refused, and he said, I cannot demonstrate, because if I demonstrate, my opponent dies. and I cannot just kill somebody to show the art. So if there is a real fight, then you will see it. I can't just demonstrate that, because there is no way of demonstrating and no result happening out of it. To give you another example, nobody goes to a cooking class to read recipes. They go to read the recipe and immediately to practice cooking it. Only the one who knows how to cook is called a chef. Not the one who knows the entire recipe book by heart, but cannot cook to save his life. Tajruba, which is experience, is different from mutala, which is reading. Only information which is practiced becomes knowledge. Knowledge that is digested becomes wisdom. Never confuse information with knowledge, or knowledge with wisdom. They are as distinct and different as the recipe and the food. It is practice which makes the recipe edible. Otherwise, it's only paper. So all practices are effective only when they are practiced. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with instructions about how to teach His companions. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that it is sohbat which made the Sahaba, not reading or degrees from a university. I want to begin with this statement in this series of lectures on Tarbiyah wa Tazkiyah, because this is perhaps the biggest fallacy that most Muslims live under, that Islam means to know about the deen, but to practice it selectively. Remember that selective obedience is disobedience. Make no mistake, Islam demands complete obedience, not obeying what we choose and disobeying the rest. Today people acquire information, they attend courses and lectures, they buy books and DVDs, but seldom do they ask themselves, now that I learned so much, how much am I practicing? Just to make my point, which Muslim does not know the importance of khushu' in salah? But what is the state of our salah? Which Muslim does not know the importance of understanding the Quran? But how much of the Quran do we actually understand? Which Muslim does not know the importance of eating halal? But how many of us make a serious attempt to eat and earn halal? And as I have said before, selective obedience is disobedience. It is useless in this world and harmful in the next. And that is why there is no such thing as a non-practicing Muslim. Just as there is no such thing as a non-practicing yogi. The only non-practicing yogi is the bear. A Muslim is the one who practices Islam, not the one who knows about Islam. Not the one who knows about Islam, but doesn't practice it. My brothers and sisters, remember, a day will come when we will be asked, what did you do? Not how much did you know? Let me give you another example. How do you enter Islam? By believing in your heart that there is nobody worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger, Nabi wa Rasul. And then by saying this aloud, and third, by living by this creed. So a person accepts Islam, and then comes the time to pray, but the one who accepted Islam does not pray. So what is he doing? Though he accepted Islam by his word, he denied it by his action. He entered it by his speech, and he left it by his action. And that is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the famous hadith, Al-ahadu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, وَمَنْ عَرَضَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He said, and all the Sahaba were united in their opinion in the matter, that the one who leaves the Salah deliberately without any Shari excuse has left Islam. So let us begin by making muhasibah and taking our own hisab about how much and how well we practice Islam. For one day, my brothers and sisters, without a doubt, we will be called to account for this. So let us ask ourselves the questions before we are asked the questions by the questioner. Let us prepare by correcting ourselves so that we incur Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness instead of His anger and wrath. I ask Allah for His mercy for myself and for you. While on this subject, I want to remind myself and you that children listen with their eyes, not with their ears. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. They do what they see us doing, not what we tell them to do. So let us remember this and do the right things. I began with the ayah of Surah Al Imran because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the coming of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and called it His blessing and His ni'mah. So let us take the first part of the four parts of His blessing that He mentioned, which is the first part is to read and listen to the Quran. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the Quran is a living document. It is the actual speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not a created thing. It was not written by Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or by anybody else. The author of the Quran is the creator of the heavens and earth Himself. The Quran speaks to those who will listen. The Quran asks and demands a response. The Quran promises great reward and warns about great punishment so that we may actively seek that reward and protect ourselves from the punishment. The Quran introduces Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentions His majesty and glory so that we may revel in the fact that we worship only the one worthy of worship. That we worship the only one who is worthy of worship. So that we may seek His pleasure, Jalla Jalalu, and we may look forward to our meeting with Him. And that is why the death of a Muslim is the happiest moment of his life. Because on that day, he goes to meet the one who he yearned to meet all his life. As I said, my brothers and sisters, the root cause for our situation in life, the root cause for the fact that we are living in a state of fear, fearing everything that exists instead of fearing the only one who is worthy that he should be feared. The reason for that is because our hearts have become hard. Our hearts have become hard. Our hearts do not respond to the kalam of Allah. They do not respond to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glory and majesty around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the effect of understanding His kalam. And He gave us a beautiful example where He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if this kalam were to be sent down onto a mountain, and if this mountain were to understand this kalam, that is the meaning of saying, sent down onto a mountain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if this kalam were to be sent down onto a mountain, that mountain would disintegrate. It would break up. Min khashyatillah. Because of the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we give these examples so that people can try to understand. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in His glorious and majestic words. The ayat which all of us have heard so many times. The key thing is not that we hear these ayat over and over again, but to reflect and introspect and say, what happens to my heart when I hear these ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if nothing happens to my heart, then my brothers and sisters, that is the sign of a very serious cardiac illness, which is called the hardness of the heart. This serious illness is so serious that every other cardiac illness ends in this life or ends by the end of this life. But this cardiac illness of hardness of the heart continues with us in the qabr and is a cause of never-ending grief. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the effect and said, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So that we may reflect, so that we may make figure. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself by His glorious qualities and by His glorious attributes, by His asma wa sifat. Each one of them requires us to reflect on it, to reflect on its meaning, and even more importantly, to reflect on what does it do to me inside. My brothers and sisters, I wonder how many of you can answer this question if I just asked you right now, if I gave you a piece of paper and said, write down what is in your heart just now. What are you feeling right now? I don't know how many of us have no clue. You have no clue. If I ask you, do you have a headache, you can tell me yes or no. But if I ask you, what is in your heart, you have no clue. And I bet that most of you did not even think of that question before I asked this question to you. Yes or no? Did you even think, I should think what is in my heart? I should reflect what is in my heart? Did that question even cross your mind? And believe me, I'm not blaming you. This is the nature of this life. This life has been created for us to forget. And that's the reason why there is a reward for not forgetting. The reward is always for swimming against the current. The reward is for always doing what is not natural. To do what is not natural is called being civilized. To go against your nature, when that nature is of a negative kind, is what is called civilized. Is what is called good manners. It is what is called akhlaq. We follow our nature, our fitra, in the good things. But there is also shar in the fitra. There is also parts of the fitra which are part of our nature. Shahwat, for example. Lust is part of our nature. But to follow it is a source of grief in this world and the next. To guard against it is a source of benefit in this world and the next. And that's the reason I am asking this question and saying, what is in your heart? Ask yourself this question. And since inshallah we will be doing this as a series of lectures, let me give you this as a homework. Those of you who are interested, do this. When you go home today, sit down with a sheet of paper and write down what is in my heart. And that paper is only for yourself. It's only between you and Allah. You can write the truth in it. You don't have to hide it. Nobody is going to see it. I will not ask to see it. Write whatever is in your heart, the good and the bad. And if you are blank and you say, I don't know what's in my heart, leave the paper blank. But put the heading, what is in my heart? And the paper is blank. And then stand in the night in tahajjud and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open those doors of the heart which we have sealed for ourselves. This ghaflat of this dunya, as I told you, has been designed to seal the doors that lead to hidayah, to seal the doors that lead to the mercy of Allah. That is what this is all about. Get you completely and totally engrossed and embroiled, so that you react to this thing which is happening as if it is real. As if it is real. Because the one who created it told us it is not real. The best example of this is if you are sitting in a movie theater, watching a movie, actual experiments have been conducted where people have been wired up to measure their heart rate, to measure electrical activity in the brain, to measure their blood pressure. And there's actual heart data, measurable heart data to show that your heart rate goes up and down depending on what's happening on the screen. That your blood pressure goes up and down depending on what's happening in the screen. That you feel emotions depending on what is happening on the screen, even though cognitively you know perfectly well that whatever is happening on the screen is a lie. It is acting. It is drama. It's not happening. The person who is dying hasn't died. The person who is crying hasn't cried. The person who got married didn't get married. The person who got divorced didn't get divorced. The person who had an accident didn't have an accident. The person who flew the plane didn't fly the plane. Every single thing you are seeing there is something which is not happening. You know this and I know this cognitively in our brain. Yet, the heart, the mind, the same brain which knows in its intellect that this is false. In its center for emotion, it behaves as if it is true. Now, if that is the reality of the make-believe world that we create, where for 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever the duration of the movie, it disconnects us from this life. When you are in that movie and you are watching that movie, I can guarantee you, no matter how devoted a son or daughter you are to your parents, you are not thinking of your parents. I can guarantee you that no matter how much you love your children, during the duration of that movie, when you are watching that film engrossed in it, you are not thinking of your children. I can guarantee you that whatever business you are doing, it's not your balance sheet that is going through your mind. It is the script and the acting of that movie. Now imagine if that movie can disconnect you from this real life, even though it's for a short duration. What do you think is the power of this life? This mata'ul ghurur, this imaginary life that we live in, what is the power of this life in which we are immersed 24/7? What is the power of this life to disconnect us from the actual reality, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the meeting with our Rabb? Imagine. The reason I'm saying is because unless we understand the nature of the challenge, unless we understand the magnitude of the difficulty that we have to face, we cannot fight that battle. It is essential for us to understand the challenge. It is essential for us to understand the magnitude of that difficulty if we are serious about creating an antidote, creating a way of beating that difficulty. Otherwise, we will be condemned to live engrossed in this life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called al-mata'ul ghurur. Innama al-hayatu dunya illa mata'ul ghurur. Qala jalla wa ala. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to end with some ayat of the Quran which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. And at the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked a question. These ayat refer to a scene that we will see on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this scene in such beautiful detail. The ayat of Surah Al-Hadid from 12 to 16. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم بشراكم اليوم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ذلك هو الفوز العظيم يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا فضرب بينهم بسور له باب باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب ينادونهم ألم نكن معكم قالوا بلى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغرور فاليوم لا يؤخذ منكم فدية ولا من الذين كفروا مأواكم النار هي مولاكم وبئس المصير ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشى قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, which means, on the day, you will see the believing men and the believing women. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among them. You will see them, their light, they will emanate light. Their light running forward before them and by their right hands. Bushraakumul yawm, glad tidings for you this day. Jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, gardens under which rivers flow, Jannah, to dwell therein forever. Truly, this is great success. On the day when the hypocrites, men and women, will say to the believers, wait for us, let us get something from your light. It will be said to them, go back to the rear, and then look for the light. A wall will be put up between them with a gate therein. Inside it will be mercy and outside it will be torment. The hypocrites will call the believers, were we not with you? The believers will reply, yes, but you led yourselves into temptations. You looked forward for our destruction. You doubted in faith and you were deceived by false desires. Till the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to pass. And the chief deceiver, Shaitan, deceived you in respect of Allah. So this day, no ransom shall be taken from you hypocrites, nor from those who disbelieved in Islam. Your abode is the fire, ma'wakumun nar. And that is the proper place for you, and worst indeed is that destination. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from in the fire. And then my brothers and sisters, the last ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking a question. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Allah says, has not the time come for the hearts of those who believe to be affected by the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, and that which has been revealed of the truth, lest they become like those who received the scripture and the term was prolonged for them, so that their hearts were hardened. And many of them were fasiqun, they were rebellious. My brothers and sisters, so has the time come for us to respond? وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ